You are Locked On Pirates, your daily Pittsburgh Pirates podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
What's going on, everybody, and welcome back to Locked On Pirates, your place for all things Pittsburgh Pirates baseball here on the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. How's it going, everybody? I am your host, Ethan Smith, fresh coming back from Jacksonville this past Sunday as the Pittsburgh Steelers defeated the Jacksonville Jaguars 27-3. And for anything you need to know about the Pittsburgh Steelers, go check out Christopher Carter over there at Locked On Steelers. He has all of your content needs for the Pittsburgh Steelers and everything Pittsburgh sports as well as I do over here. Check out Locked On Penguins as well. For my new listeners, if you do not know a lot about me, I am a Pittsburgh fanboy. I actually recently just got a tattoo of the Clemente Bridge and a Steelers logo on my forearm to begin a forearm sleeve. So if that doesn't spit being a Pittsburgh super fan, I don't know what does, guys. So today on the podcast, we are going to be talking about the departures of Trevor Williams and Jose Osuna to protect Max Kranich and Rodolfo Castro from the Rule 5 draft, as we see a pair of veterans who are going to take up a lot of money in arbitration this coming winter, now gone from the team. And I don't know, I've seen some mixed reactions on this, but it should be an interesting kind of dynamic as to where Ben Cherington has this team going. Before we get today's podcast started, though, make sure you check out my crossover podcast on the Locked On MLB podcast with Mr. Sully Baseball, as we talked about the Pittsburgh Pirates and their tough losses from 1990 to 1992 and 2013 to 2015, as well as what I think the state of the franchise is moving forward for the Pittsburgh Pirates into 2021. So go make sure you check that out. And let's go ahead and get started with Trevor Williams, I would say the bigger player of the two when it comes to him and Jose Osuna both being designated for assignment and now no longer being in Pittsburgh. We saw Trevor Williams. He made a post on Instagram thanking the city of Pittsburgh. It was a very nice post, I will say that. He's been a regular in this Pirates rotation for about 3 years now, and 2018 was his strongest campaign, pitching a 3.11 ERA in 170 innings. Outside of a few strong early starts in 2020, however, it was mostly downhill. In 2019 and 2020, which were his past two seasons, he combined for a 5.6 ERA in 201 innings. And his projected salary was definitely going to be north of probably about $3, maybe even $4 million in arbitration. So the Pirates decided, hey, we're just not going to bring him back. And I agree with it wholeheartedly. Trevor Williams was never going to be a guy in our future plans, as well as when you have guys like Quinn Priester, Carmen Majinski, Brennan Malone, Mitch Keller, Jameson Taillon, all guys that are going to continue to develop. There's no point in keeping a guy who hasn't exactly been consistent enough to stay. And now this means the Pirates have lost two of their starting pitchers from the 2020 season in Trevor Williams and Chris Archer. Chris Archer being a part of that terrible Tyler Glasnow, Austin Meadows trade with the Tampa Bay Rays. So now, realistically, you look at the roster, and the Pirates have about three for sure starting pitchers in Mitch Keller, Jameson Taillon, and Joe Musgrove. And Joe Musgrove looks like he's going to be staying now after the rumors that he would be getting traded, but I don't think he will now. You have to have at least three pitchers. I would expect like a JT Brubaker or a Steven Brault or even Chad Kuhl, if he stays, to be finishing out the rotation there. trade interest on Trevor Williams, though, was definitely a big deal for the Pirates. I do think they were going to try to move him, obviously, because they were trying to they designated him for assignment, so I'm pretty sure they would have tried to, like, move on from him. But I don't think that any team was going to really trade for him. Is it likely that Williams gets picked up off of waivers? No, I don't think he's going to get picked up off of waivers. I do think he would actually have the service time. Yeah, he will have the service time to become a free agent. And some teams that I said could use Williams, as I like we hinted in the podcast in the title, that where would these guys go? And you look at like a specific team for Trevor Williams, and I actually talked about this on another crossover podcast with Gabby Starr, the host of Locked On Red Sox. And the Red Sox had the worst pitching staff in 2020. So why not take a shot on a guy like Trevor Williams when you're not going to have Chris Sale in the rotation until probably at least June or July? You're not going to have a strong David Price anymore as he's aging. Eduardo Rodriguez was like, he's just, I might never play baseball again. And it's, I mean, like, Williams has suitors, I'm pretty sure. Like, I'm sure he will have a suitor somewhere. The Red Sox being one, the Toronto Blue Jays were also one until they went and re-signed some guys. Even the New York Mets could look to finish out their rotation that they have right now with Syndergaard, DeGrom, Stroman, and then even a possibility of having Williams as a fourth or fifth option. Because I think that was one of the bigger issues with Trevor Williams' game, is he was asked to do too much as a, like, second or third pitcher when he's more of a bottom of the rotation pitcher that pitches you like five or six innings and then hands it off to your strong bullpen. The Pirates don't have a strong bullpen, so it's kind of hard for Williams to ever do that. He would make a pretty affordable reclamation project too. I mean, he's only 28, so he still has time to fix some things, get things going. And if you need to get things going, which we all do right now, get yourself a Built Bar. Built Bar is a protein bar that tastes just like a candy bar. I'm telling you, they're all chocolate. They're all chocolate covered. They have an immense number of flavors. And anytime I need to get going, it's a great source of protein, a great source of fiber, a great source of energy. So if you're at work at your 9-to-5 job and you need a pick me up, or if you're going to the gym and you don't want to go and get that energy powder or any of that like protein powder and you want to have something that tastes good, get Built Bar. And if you go to BuiltBar.com using the code LOCKEDON, that's LOCKEDON, you get 20% off of your next order. This means you could be using Built Bar already, like we've talked about on the podcast a lot. We've always, Built Bar has been great for Locked On Pirates and myself. You do not have to be a new buyer. You do not have to be a new customer. You could be using Built Bar right now and just continuously keep using the code Locked On and get 20% off of your next order, guys. And money's tight right now. Use this. Again, that's BuiltBar.com using the code Locked On, LOCKEDON, and getting 20% off of your next order. Make sure you let them know that Locked On sent you. And as far as what we're about to talk about here right before the break, we are going to go into Jose Osuna and where he could end up after his stint with the Pittsburgh Pirates. And we will be right back, guys. And welcome back to Locked On Pirates. How is everybody doing today? I hope you guys enjoyed that first segment, and we are here for segment two, where we are going to talk about Jose Osuna's departure from Pittsburgh. But before we do that, on tomorrow's episode, on Tuesday, November 24th, we're going to have an interesting little episode, guys, because over this past weekend, via the New York Post, Cole Tucker, the Pittsburgh Pirates, was he was seen with Vanessa Hudgens. That's going to be an interesting little topic of discussion, as we're going to talk about, you know, how some Pirates players could be linked to some celebrities and what celebrities they may be like. But I'm not going to tell you what the episode's about. You're going to have to stay tuned for tomorrow, as well as talking about what teams are interested in some of the Pittsburgh Pirates trade pieces that we have, like Adam Frazier, Joe Musgrove, Stephen Brault, Chad Kuhl, etc., Richard Rodriguez, guys like that. So that will be all on tomorrow's episode of Locked On Pirates. Make sure you follow us on Locked On Pirates on Twitter. That is at Locked On Pirates. I always am on Twitter all the time. Don't worry, I'm there literally religiously at this point. So if you guys want to interact with me, ask me questions, all that good stuff, you want to see my new tattoo, you want to see my seats for the Jacksonville Steelers game yesterday, again, go check out Christopher Carter on Locked On Steelers for a recap of that game that saw the Steelers go 10-0. Just follow us on Twitter, and I usually follow back. All right, guys, so now we talked about Trevor Williams before the break. We're now going to get into Jose Osuna. I would say of the two, Trevor Williams was the bigger player, but I do think Jose Osuna hurts a little bit more. In 2019, we saw Osuna hit 264, 310, 476 with 10 home runs and 285 trips to the plate. But his 82 plate appearances in 2020 resulted in a very, very bad output of 205, 244, 230, or 397. That was kind of expected. Osuna's biggest thing is his right-hand pop. But his career batting line shows 241, 280, 430. He does have some on-base deficiencies. He does have the good power that you look for, but his plate discipline has kind of been very bad. Jose Osuna was definitely a guy for the Pirates, though, that some people were like, wow, why is this guy not getting more playing time? But he's a first baseman and an outfielder, but he never really got a chance in the outfield for the most part. And now at first base, you have Josh Bell and Colin Moran and even Will Craig at first base. So there's really no reason for Jose Osuna to be on the roster anymore, especially when you have up-and-comers in the outfield like Brian Reynolds, who will hopefully have a bounce-back year, Jared Oliva, Anthony Alford, Travis Swaggerty even in the near future. Cole Tucker was getting more outfield-like reps than Osuna was at that point as well. And you look at what Ben Cherington had to say on a video conference call. We definitely debated a lot of names, got a lot of input from our scouts, our information groups, our player development staff. Ultimately, it was pretty clear in the end who we were going to add. We spent a lot of time on other names too, but it was pretty clear in the end that we felt like adding Max Kranich and Rodolfo Castro were the right calls. The hard part is we're at 40, so the harder part is figuring out the corresponding moves. As I explained, we felt like it made sense anticipating what was likely to happen with Williams Osuna over the next couple weeks. Felt like it made sense to make those moves now. I agree. I mean, again, you're not trying to throw money, and it would have been about combined $5 million in arbitration between the two to sign them. And I agree that getting rid of both was the right idea. You couldn't find trade suitors for Williams. Osuna was definitely not going to find trade suitors. Well, Osuna might struggle a little more to find a spot in the majors. I don't know if he still has any minor league options, but it's going to be very interesting to see, like, if he can go anywhere. I mean, he fell behind Colin Moran as a designated hitter, and Phillip Evans was the top backup corner infielder, outfielder. So falling behind those kind of guys who, let's be honest, I don't think either Colin Moran or Phillip Evans is starting on a good Major League Baseball team. But there has been interest in Osuna in playing in Asia, which is a very interesting one. And they wanted to speed that up, as Cherington also said on that conference call. It was just one where we expected we probably would be making a move with Jose, and given that interest he has, we sped that up. Could Jose Osuna potentially go to the KBO? Could he go just to like any league over there and maybe see a lot more success and then come back? Some teams do need first baseman though, but I don't think Osuna is going to be the guy that you're looking for. And it's hard to say why the Pirates made these moves specifically with these two. I think it just had to do more with the money. And the Pirates have also made it clear that this is a rebuild. Like, it is. And when you see names like Kevin Pr, Freddie Galvis, even Jock Peterson, if like he doesn't get his money and stuff like that thrown out there, I just don't see it happening, especially when they don't even want to give money. They don't even want to give money to Jose Osuna and Trevor Williams. What's going to make them want to give money? And I mean, that's not a lot of money. That's like $5 million in arbitration, like I said. So what's going to be an influence for them to go say, hey, let's go pay Jackie Bradley Jr. or Kevin Pillar? Like, Kevin Pillar is going to be a little bit more cheap on that end. But, like, say Jock Peterson or Freddie Galvis is going to want that kind of money. Why would we go out and sign them for that kind of money? Albeit they're better players, but we're making it clear that we don't want to spend money right now. And I really like this approach. I don't know if a lot of people do like this approach of just not really having veterans on the roster, because I feel like that's kind of been a thing that stopped Pirates development for players over the long haul for a minute. Like, whenever McCutchen got traded, I think we should have just blew everything up and traded Marte along with him, because Marte realistically stopped the development of a couple players. Like, it's very, and so did Corey Dickerson, because the team was still trying to contend, and you can't get mad at the team for contending. Like, that's what we want to see, but that team was never contending when they traded for Chris Archer. And that trade just looks stupid. And you have to think about it. If Marte and Dickerson just weren't on the team anymore, Austin Meadows doesn't get traded. Tyler Glasnow doesn't get traded. They have no reason to trade for Chris Archer at that point. And I like this approach by Ben Cherington to say, let's just keep this team young. If you really want, like, I think Jacob Stallings is now the oldest player on the team, and he's 30. Like, well, maybe pitching, but I can't remember, like, who would be that. I think Richard Rodriguez is, like, 31 or 32. But nevertheless, you look at the team now, Josh Bell is still in his 20s. Kevin Newman is 28. Cole Tucker is still young. Ke'Bryan Hayes is just getting started. He's, like, 24, 25. Jared Oliva is young. Anthony Alford's 26. Brian Reynolds is 26, 27. Polanco is still 28 or 29, but he'll be gone after the 2021 season anyway. And Travis Swaggerty, who could be coming up, is a young gun. Like, you have a lot of guys that are young. Mitch Keller, still in his 20s. Jameson Taillon, still in his 20s. Joe Musgrove, late 20s, I believe early 30s. Stephen Brault, also, I believe, is in his 20s. If I'm wrong about this, you guys can definitely let me know. But if you look at the roster as a whole now, there's veterans like Josh Bell and Colin Moran and Jameson Taillon are veterans, and Joe Musgrove. But they're not like 33, 34-year-old veterans that aren't going to mean anything to the team after 2 years. It's very quite possible that all of the guys that I just named, Josh Bell, Joe Musgrove, Jameson Taillon, and those guys might not be on the roster by the time we start contending, but they're not stopping the development of young players. Jameson Taillon's only going to help the pitching staff. He's only going to help Mitch Keller. Josh Bell's only going to help Colin Moran. He's only going to help Phillip Evans. Cole Tucker and, I mean, if Adam Frazier even stays, Adam Frazier's up there. He's not that great at the plate, but he's a good defensive player. And the Pirates need defense. He's only going to help Kevin Newman. The outfield right now. Brian Reynolds comes back to form. He's only going to help Anthony Alford. He's only going to help Jared Oliva and Travis Swaggerty and Tajay Jones, who's another pitcher. Like, all these guys are just going to show you that, hey, look, we can develop in this system without the help of veterans. That means we can move forward. That means we can move forward. We can move this rebuild a little bit quicker. And you could be contending a lot quicker because your players are going to progress quicker. And that's what I want to see. And that's why I like these moves of getting rid of Williams and Osuna. They weren't helping the team. They weren't helping in any way. I know 2020 was a messed up year. Everybody was pretty bad. But I don't think Osuna is going to ever find his bat again in Major League Baseball unless he gets the perfect fit. And I don't know where it is. And Williams can help somewhere else. He can help a contender who needs that fifth pitcher, but he's not a second or a third pitcher. He doesn't need to be pitching at the top of a rotation. And that was the problem, is he was pitching at the top of a rotation with Joe Musgrove and Chad Kuhl. And they don't need to be. And that's why Jameson Taillon, Mitch Keller, and Joe Musgrove can man that three-headed monster. That's not the best three-headed monster, but it's not the worst. And you don't have to worry about catering to guys who are going to want more money. So you can build from the ground up. That is probably the biggest thing the Pirates need to do right now, is build from the ground up. And just like I've been building this podcast from the ground up ever since I started about 2 months ago, and you guys are showing me nothing but support, we need to show this management some support. Just like you guys show support for me in this Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. Show this team some support and patience. Patience. That's the word that we need. Be patient with Derek Shelton and Ben Cherington. Ben Cherington has a history of winning, and that's why the Pirates brought him on. Trust the process and trust his moves. And again, guys, we're all Pirates fans. That's why you listen to my podcast. That's why you're here. That's why you're going to tune in tomorrow when I talk about Cole Tucker going out with Vanessa Hudges and trade destinations for a lot of our players that could get traded. We're Pirates fans, and we're in this for the long haul. It's going to be a rebuild. It's going to be time. But guess what? We're going to all be there together. And in a couple years, if I'm still doing this podcast, which I hope I am, it's going to be fun whenever I'm talking about us contending. Thank you guys so much for tuning in on this Monday, November 25th. I am happy that you guys are here. Again, I'm trying to do a mailbag episode, so send your questions in to Locked On Pirates on Twitter. And let's tune in tomorrow, guys. This is Ethan Smith signing off from Locked On Pirates, a part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team, your Pittsburgh Pirates, every day.